It is fitting that we come together tonight for the Lord's Supper for at least two reasons that I can think of. One is the obvious reason. It's Maundy Thursday, right? Maundy Thursday is the day that Christians celebrate the events that took place on Thursday evening of Holy Week when Jesus gathered together with his disciples in the upper room to eat the Passover meal. And that's when he instituted the Lord's Supper. That's why we're doing this tonight. But second, it's also fitting that we do this tonight because it fits so well with our Easter series, One with Jesus. The Lord's Supper is a paramount expression of our union and communion with Christ. In the supper, we see not only a display of the death of Christ, and we see that when the bread is broken, right? When we see the wine, we're reminded of the blood. We not only have a display of the death of Christ, but we have a beautiful display of our participation in his death through our union with Christ. And that's what I want us to see tonight from this text. And I want to look at just those two verses, verses 16 and verses 17. And I just want to make two observations. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm going to spend most of my time on the first observation. So if I go long in the first one, don't think I'm going to go that long in the second. Just a forewarning. But the two observations I want to make are from verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, the communion that we have in the Lord's Supper is communion with Jesus himself. That's very clear in verse 16. But then it's also clear in verse 17 that the communion we have in the Lord's Supper is a communion with Jesus' redeemed people. It's a communion with his body. And we're all members of that body in Christ. So those two things, communion with Jesus and communion with his people. So let's look at the first, verse 16. Let me reread it for us. Paul says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Now, it should be fairly obvious to us that this is referring to the Lord's Supper. You see the cup mentioned, that's identified with Jesus' blood, and the bread is identified with his body, the body and blood of Christ. That's communion. That's what Paul talks about in the next chapter, in chapter 11, that Jesus instituted on Maundy Thursday. Jesus took the cup, he took the bread, and he instituted with those two elements what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. But what may not be as obvious is the meaning and significance of those two phrases Paul mentions in verse 16. The cup of blessing and the participation in. What does he mean by those two things? Well, let's look at both. Let's take the first, the cup of blessing. When Paul refers to the cup in the Lord's Supper as a cup of blessing, he's most likely using the language of the Old Covenant Passover meal. Now, the Passover in Jesus' time, and it still is today, included four cups of wine, and each cup represented to God's people different facets of his redemption of his people out of Egypt. It goes all the way back to the story and the great redemptive act of God bringing his covenant people out of bondage and slavery and dominion by the Egyptians and rescuing them and redeeming them by his strong, outstretched arm. And what God's people were to do was to celebrate the Passover, how God's wrath passed over God's people as the angels saw the sacrificial lamb slain in place of God's people. But there were four cups at this time in the first century that was used for the celebration. And more than likely, Paul is referring to the fourth of those cups. The fourth cup was the cup of blessing, or the cup of thanksgiving. So if you have an NIV, your translation probably says cup of thanksgiving. If you have an ESV, cup of blessing. That's what it's referring to. And I think Paul uses that phrase in particular for good reason. The Passover meal, that's the meal Jesus was celebrating when he instituted the Lord's Supper, remember. But the Passover meal was a covenant celebration. A covenant celebration of God's redemption of his people from Egypt and of their covenantal union with him. Remember what God kept telling Pharaoh through Moses? He said, let my people go that they might come up and do what? And worship me. Right? God was jealous to have his people come out of slavery in Egypt and to be united with him, to worship him, to be with him. He had made a commitment to his people that he would be their God and that they would be his people. That's covenantal union. And so like the Passover meal, the Lord's Supper is a celebration of the new covenant redemption that we have in Christ. That's why Jesus said in the institution of the Lord's Supper, this cup is the what? The new covenant, right? The new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. It's a covenant celebration. And at the heart of covenant is union between God and his people. Like the Passover meal, we are celebrating our covenantal union with Jesus. But there's a big difference, right, between the Passover meal and the Lord's Supper. The Passover meal included a sacrifice, didn't it? There was a sacrificial lamb. Of course, in the New Covenant, there is no sacrifice in the Lord's Supper, is there? This is not a sacrifice. This is a reminder, a sign and a seal of the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That's why Paul said just a few chapters earlier in Corinthians, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. We're remembering our redemption out of sin's tyranny and sin's condemnation and guilt, are being transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and enslavement to Satan into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Jesus. And that required sacrifice. And Jesus, by his grace, laid down his own life for his people, only to take it up again. So the covenantal nature of the Lord's Supper expresses our union with Christ. Okay? But even more striking is the word participation. Look at verse 6 again. We're told that we have a participation in the blood and a participation in the body of Christ. So what does that refer to? The word participation is the word koinonia in Greek. You've probably heard that word before. It means to have fellowship with, communion with, to share in, even to be identified with Jesus. Paul gives two illustrations of this communion. Look at verse 18. This is the first. He says, consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? You see, some sacrifices under the old covenant were to be eaten. And by the act of eating, the person eating it shares in the altar. They are participants in this worship of God, right? They are manifestly united or sharers in the God whom they are worshiping. They're communing with him. They're eating before the Lord. They're at his table, as it were. They're participants in the altar. And then he gives another illustration, verses 19 through 21. Look again. What do I imply then, that the food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? See, there was a problem with these Corinthians participating in the pagan sacrificial meals, right? This is different than what Paul says elsewhere, that it's okay to eat meat that was sold in the market previously sacrificed to idols. That, they've gone beyond this. They're actually participating in the event. So, no, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons, not to God. I do not want you, and listen, I do not want you to be participants with. Paul says, I don't want you sharing in, I don't want you communing with demons. It's strong language, isn't it? You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. You see, what he's getting at is to participate in the pagan sacrificial meal is to partake in, to be identified with paganism. Even demons, as Paul says. And a Christian simply cannot do that. Because he's united not to an idol, not to a demon, but to the one true and living God. He's united in communion with Christ. There's a parallel to this section in 2 Corinthians. Let me read it for you. It's in chapter 6. Paul says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Baal? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them." And now listen to the covenantal union language. You ready? Here it is. "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So you see the argument there. Right? You can't participate in these pagan sacrificial meals and then come and try to participate in the Lord's Supper. Those two things are totally incompatible. Right? There is no fellowship between God and an idol, between light and darkness, between those who are God's people and those who aren't. Because God's people have a very special relationship to Him. They're united to Him. They're one with Him. They participate and have a share in Him and all that He's done for them in His Son Jesus. To have union and communion with Christ is to have fellowship and participation in Him and in all of His benefits. So verse 16, to be a participant in, to have fellowship in, to partake in the blood and the body of Jesus is to have a share in His sacrificial death. And we saw that last Sunday in Romans 6, didn't we? Now, one of the benefits that come to us when we're united to Christ, and that is expressed so beautifully in the Lord's Supper, is the union and fellowship we enjoy not only with Jesus, but with His people. Look at verse 17. Look at how communion is an expression of the communion we have with Jesus' redeemed church. "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." You see, the emphasis in this passage isn't on the horizontal, it's on the vertical. Okay, the emphasis is on commitment and faithfulness to Christ, right? And His faithfulness to us. But that vertical relationship we have with Jesus bends horizontal, doesn't it? The vertical fellowship we have with Christ bends outward and is expressed in our fellowship with His people. And one of my favorite passages that unpacks this is 1 John chapter 1. Listen to the connection between the vertical and the horizontal fellowship we have. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie." We don't practice the truth. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with..." And now what would you expect? We have fellowship with Him. But listen to what John says. "We have fellowship with one another." Did you catch it? One another. "And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Do you see how the fellowship with God and Christ bends outward? Right? And that makes a lot of sense when you think of the language in the Bible of our union with Christ. We are His body, united to our head. And we're different members of the one body. And that reality is expressed in what we're about to do. The fellowship that we have with other believers is most clearly seen around this table. Have you thought about that? Where is your love for and union with other brothers and sisters in Christ most clearly expressed, and it's expressed here. Because what we're doing, you might think of it as like a triangle. Okay, 2 points on the triangle come together where? At the top point. And it says, we as believers come to Christ, we come together. We come together. That's what the Lord's Supper reveals. We who are many, Paul says, are one body because we're all united to the one body of Christ. That's what the one bread represents. The Holy Spirit who binds us to Jesus also binds us to one another. And though we are many in this room tonight, we are one in Christ. So that's what we've come to celebrate this evening. And that's also why every time we celebrate communion, we make the very clear statement that this supper, this celebration is for Christians, right? In it, we celebrate what? Our faith union with Jesus. That's something only a Christian has. We celebrate the spiritual bond we have with other brothers and sisters in Christ's church. And so that's why we say that if that doesn't describe you, if that's not where you're at, if you've never received Christ or never professed your faith in Christ in the context of His church, this is an opportunity to invite you to let the elements pass and let those go by. And to take this as an opportunity to seize Christ. I mean, month after month after month, we celebrate this meal, and month after month, you have an opportunity to receive something far more important than bread and wine. You see, we don't receive Jesus by taking bread and wine. We receive Jesus through faith. This doesn't make you united to Jesus, so when you let the elements pass, you're not missing out. You're only missing out on Christ if you don't trust Him, if you don't put your faith in Him. And so I'm going to pray now. I'm just going to ask that if that describes you, that Jesus, King Jesus, would overcome any obstacle or any barrier that would be keeping you from receiving Him tonight. And I'm also going to pray for those who have received Christ, that this is going to be a sweet, satisfying, and faith-strengthening celebration as we come together as one body and celebrate our union and communion with Christ. Let's pray. Father, that is our prayer. If there's even one person who has not put their faith in Christ and not come into the fellowship of His church with those with whom they're united and joyfully profess that faith, we pray that You would work in their hearts now. We pray that You would overcome any barrier that may be hindering them. We pray that You would put down the work of Satan, of blinding the minds of unbelievers. We pray that You would conquer rebellious hearts and subdue them. We pray that You would go uniting people to Your Son Jesus, granting repentance, granting faith, pouring out Your Spirit and giving new life together with Christ. Would You go to and fro, Father, in this room by Your Spirit and work that in the hearts of Your people. And for everyone that You've done that to already, we pray that You would show us afresh the broken body and shed blood of Jesus for us. Assure us of His love and His commitment to us. Remind us of His covenant faithfulness to us. And help us, Lord, to be strengthened with this meal, to be faithful to Him. And we pray in His name. Amen.